This is Dave Seibold, and what you're about to hear is one of a series of tapes the Grand Haven Historical Society is trying to put together to capture some of the memories of the people in the community that have been so instrumental in the history of the community and in the flavor of the community. We hope that this whole series can be successful. We realize that videotape is probably a better way to go, but somehow when there's a camera set up, people do have a tendency to be a little reluctant to be themselves. But somehow, on the other side, when you have a tape going, it just is almost an unknown part of the interview. And so people do kind of let themselves go. What we're going to be listening to on this tape, and as a matter of fact, on two sides of this tape and two sides of another tape, a total of four sides. And he certainly is deserving of that, because the interview is with Henry Coyman, and I suppose there isn't anyone else in the town that is better known for what he has meant to downtown Grand Haven. He and John Van Skelvin made a heck of a team when John was still living, because you could sit down with the two of those and piece together what the city really looked like back at the turn of the century. As a matter of fact, John's death probably brought into focus more than anything else the importance of trying to get something of this order on tape, because, well, once they're gone, you wonder why you didn't do it. Henry, one of the things that we're going to hear today is how the relationships of these founding people is interwoven, which has always been quite a fascination to me, and not being much of a sociologist, I've never been able to keep it all straight. Henry certainly is able to, though. Henry was became part of the downtown in 1925 at the age of 21 or 22 when he bought the shoe store that he remained in until just this past year. He had saved $1,500 through those 21 or 22 years, and that's the money that he used to buy the business. The thing that has fascinated me about these people who were born at about the turn of the century is the extent of the technologic advancement that has occurred in their lifetime. And I'm not so sure that they're totally aware of it. But when you consider telephone, automobile, airplane, and, of course, television and space age is all part of it also, I kind of consider these people community treasures, because they're the last of a breed to be able to remember those days when there were no telephones in town and that sort of thing. So I kept trying to get Henry back to that, but he was wont to wander and talk about the things that he really enjoyed, such as his birds, his pigeons, and his chickens, and his squirrels too, because he lives up on Sherman Avenue in a very lovely setting, and the squirrels are right out his back window. But regardless, the interview was enjoyable, and I think it did capture something that will be of value in the years to come, because at least we have his voice and we have some very interesting stories that he has to tell. So I've spoken enough. Let's stop now and listen to the interview. I hope you enjoy it.
Grace was born on Christmas Day, and she died in January. So there, Don and his mother and his grandmother are all buried together out there. But I checked that because I thought I was right, but I wanted to be sure when you get back in the 90s.
Now, the Smith brothers, where was their place? Guggenheimer's is now?
Yeah. That was an ice cream parlor at different times, and I guess it was a post office one time way back too.
Yeah.
But my mother, I used to hear my mother say, "Well, we walked down to the post office." That was when she was a girl.
Yeah.
My mother was born in 77, when she was 16, she worked out of the lake one summer as a maid, and they asked her, they liked her so well, they asked her to go, to quit school and go back to Grand Rapids with her for a year. Mm. So she did. Mm. Well, then she met a lot of nice folks, including, from the bank.
Oh, Ray Wurst.
Ray's grandmother was one of my mother's good friends.
Oh, I'll be there.
And that kept on as long as they lived. But the only thing I regret I had, when I made the deal selling the mother's house, then I found out that Ray was her grandson. My mother would have been tickled to know that it was him, you know.
To have been so.
Because he'd been here a couple of years and I didn't know him. He didn't know because it was way back in 93. So she was 16.
You were born when?
1903.
So you were here you were born just about the time that businesses began to come into Grand Haven, that lumber was gone.
Right.
And
my dad and my uncle, they bought one of the warehouses from one of the lumber companies, I don't know, Kilburn, I think,
mm-hmm.
at the end of Fifth Street. It was right on the marsh there. It was up on, what would you call it?
Piling.
And they had it all full of feed. Mm. And one day it rolled off that piling and the things came up through the floor, ripped off flour and everything. And I found an ad, and I got that down the basement someplace. I got to get them together. When my dad advertised it, you know, so many bags were ripped that they were selling at big discounts and all that stuff. But I can see the thing. That must have been about 1915 or so. And then they finally got cleared. But I went in the building and the floor, you know, stuck up some places that high. The big heavy planks and everything.
Hmm.
Well, then one night, along 16 or 17, Halloween, I was standing out in front of my mother's house. I was just 14 years old. And the fire engine bell rang. And we had a team of horses in, and that was Canary Smith's father drove the team in.
I'll be there.
And
when the fire barn was on
the top of the hill.
And
I heard them go, and I didn't know where they went. But I knew why we found out. The kids left that big warehouse, and it burned to the ground. And all they had was $1,000 insurance on it. Well, then there was one of the mothers came to my dad and says, could you help my boys? Before they did it for fun to see the fire engine run. Well, my dad said, I can't do anything because that's in the hands of the police department. So I think one of the kids got a little ride out of it, but I can't remember. There's nobody around that can talk about it.
Yeah. When you say fire engines, were they horse-driven?
Yeah.
They were horse-driven?
Oh, yeah.
And this is in 17.
Around in there.
Uh-huh.
Because we had just been on 4th Street. We moved there in 14. We bought the property in 1912, and there was a house on it, and my uncle bought it from my dad because he wanted it off and wanted to build a new house there, a full lot, because you couldn't find full lots all around there. And so my uncle bought it and moved it down on Pinoyer and made two houses out of it. One where Fred von Bemelin was raised in,
mm-hmm.
right on that block there next to Neil Nutson. Those two houses came off in that in 1914. I told that somebody else that lately. I said, I'm going to take you down and show you the house someday.
They used to move houses?
Yeah.
And how did they
with
do it?
With one horse, and they'd go, a horse that would go around and around, and have a big cable on it, and it'd take several days, you know.
Sure.
That old horse, he'd be going around, he'd be going slow.
What would you call it? A windlass? Turnstile?
We used to watch them when we were kids, and they put boards down for it to roll on.
Uh-huh.
Not like today, they go.
Why, they put it up on a truck, and away they go.
Yeah. But, you know, in the day, there's so many people aren't interested in the past. You know, if I ask them something, I don't know. I learned a lot when I was a kid. When we first moved up here, I was 11. And the Paul brothers lived on the corner where that duplex is. They had a little old house, never been painted. When they came out the door closed. Nobody ever got inside. But they were the nicest old fellas you ever saw. And Jake died in the 80s. And we lived up here quite a while. When John died, he was over 100. But they were...
You're talking about 1980?
No, he was 80 some years.
I see, okay.
That was
in the 40s, I see, okay.
And then his brother, after we moved up here, we went up here around 39 to be 40 next year. And we didn't build the first 2 years because you couldn't get much after the war, you know. That's why it'd be fun to build now because you'd get more things.
Yeah, true.
But then I think, oh, shoot, I've got it good now. I know where I'm at night. I can walk around the house with streetlights without putting the lights on. And I got a big basement, you know, and I think, gosh, I shouldn't do it, but you got to always dream, Dave.
Oh, yeah, you're darn right.
My son-in-law always says, now, move a few pigeons, sell a few, and get a few new ones so you keep interest. Well, I do. Our heads swim at this time of the year when it gets near towards spring again, you know, and you want to mate this one to that one.
Yeah.
They'll stay mated together a lifetime if you don't break them up. But now this year, I think I'll break up I would say 90% of them and give them new mates. I bought a new pair of whites last year, and it was the best I've ever had. And I raised the most young ones from them that I ever did for one pair of croppers. 13. I've got 15 whites now, and they all got slowed like that. And now I could have sold two pairs to show, but I couldn't because they were brothers and sisters. So now this year I'll take the father and daughter and the mother and son. And I'll have two distinct strains, you see, and eventually they'll be unrelated.
Now you said you started the pigeon business when you were 7. Where were you living then?
Out at 1243 Fulton, next to where the Stamp Product used to be in the corner there on this side across from... I don't know what was in there last. It was a Panhard when I...
I know where you're talking about. That
Frank
the Gardner Denver?
Yeah. Well, see, when I lived out there, there was nothing there except Heap and Bash and Blessing. We used to go as kids, fly kites, and we were little kids then.
Uh-huh.
I left there when I was 10. And we used to sit on the ground and put our back against the building and fly kites. I can see it just like you. and at night in the summer sometimes, the gypsies would come and camp there in those days. And also circuses would come there occasionally. But a lot of them were at Davis's Field right here in DeSpelter. That's where that was all vacant.
Now you're talking about over near Ferry School.
Yeah.
Up that way.
Right this way from Sarah Perry.
Uh-huh.
The Spelter in Washington, right back in there. That's where the circuses used to come to.
That was all vacant land?
Oh, yeah.
Were there streets in there, though?
No, they weren't through.
Uh-huh.
Sherman hasn't been through too many years either. To me, many. But when we first moved up on Forest 2, Lafayette wasn't through. And I'll tell you a good one, Dave. In 1941... This is about the time I bought my partner out. A fellow named Henry Fisher lived right over on Lafayette. That's just right off the same block we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an old house and two lots. And it was in the sand hill. And he only wanted $350 for two lots and a house.
Wow.
So I was in the bank. I always do want to talk with Ted a lot. And I said, Ted, I got a chance to buy a house and two lots for $350. Ted looked at me, you know how he does.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
He says, don't stick your neck out.
That sounds like Ted.
Well, when I remodeled in 1960, I went over there, and I said, Ted, I don't owe any money now, the house and the business and everything. I said, what do you think, I ought to remodel? I was 57. And he said, you will enjoy it, but you'll never get your money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I met Ed Ellis on the street, and I said, Mr. Ellis, what should I do? Of course, my mother didn't want me to. She wanted me to retire because you worked so long. And I said, what would you do? I said, remodel or retire? Well, he retired in the 50s. You know?
Yes, he did.
And he said, remodel.
Uh-huh.
And so I did. And
then you had to keep working.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Dave, I hated to quit yet.
Sure.
But I knew it was time. I was down the street the other day. I get all over, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I met two fellows that are in business. And they said, you know, I guess they must be in the 40s. He said, you know, you were born at the right time and you sold out at the right time. Business is tough right now.
And you sold out just when? Just last year?
Three years.
3 years.
Be three next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I meet people and they shake hands. Do you miss it? No, I actually don't miss the business, but I do miss the people. Because I had a lot of people I knew more closely with business than I do a lot of the people in our church. You know, you meet them in a business way, you're more friendly than you are with your church people.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they'd come back, they were your regular customers.
Yeah, and you sit and talk. That's why I hated to quit, but now I'm glad I did, because, you know, we had a half of the shoe in the basement, and I went down, if we had a busy day, and I waited on them, whatever day, I bet you we went down 50 times.
Huh.
But I never fell, it was a miracle. Because, you know, when you get older, you aren't quite as good as you were when you were young. But I'm thankful that I got through it. I still own the building. We've got a 3-year lease on it, which is up next summer. But you hate to get an attorney, but you don't know all the ins and outs of a deal. And I looked at the contract over. He can't move out. I don't think he's going to. I don't mean that. Unless he'd pay me off completely. And I didn't know that. When he remodeled inside it, he can't take a thing with him. I didn't know that.
Oh.
All the new shelving, all it has to stay.
It stays there.
Yeah. So I said to Mary one day, I said, I'm not going to worry if he decides he wants to extend it, because I'm just as good off. I got a deal with him where he pays all the taxes and insurance. Well, that's $5,000 a year. And then I get so much a month. And right now, I thought, if he could say next summer he isn't quite ready, he's got 3 good stores in Grand Rapids.
Oh.
He's got one he took over from his father-in-law about 15 or 16 years ago. His father-in-law was doing $450,000. He tripled it. And then he has 2 others, an all Red Wing store on Plainfield, and then he started another one on the other end of the winter. So he's doing over 2 million, but they can get pinched sometime too.
Yeah.
I talked to him. I don't see him very often, so I called him a couple weeks ago to the league and went up. I didn't know whether to put a new roof on or not. It was between where the 2 buildings went together. And it seemed like they couldn't catch it, but they did this time. And so I talked with him, and it was quite a change in the store that I left. We always try to have a ball head on this floor all the time, where today it's all young people. And the old people like that, you know. We got one old one.
Yeah, that's interesting.
When Ray died last spring, he just dropped dead, you know, and that took both out. And that bothered me more than some of my relatives, close relatives, you know, because we were in close quarters for 24 years.
Yeah.
And it was harder on him, though, than it was me that I was making the change, because he knew my ways, and Mike, he's got the new modern ways, you know.
Sure,
and
sure.
I think it was harder on him.
You know, I'm just thinking, you were talking about where you lived on Fulton Street, and I was thinking that's out at the edge of civilization, but that was the highway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sure, the highway came right around by Eagle, Ottawa.
There weren't many cars then. When we left there in 1913, old Doc Hogue, they call him Doc Hogue, he worked in a machine shop, Jones Machinery.
Mm-hmm.
He had a buggy with a motor on him, an arm. He'd take all the kids that night around there with something.
Did he make it himself?
I think he had something, because he was a machinist.
Uh-huh.
And but then I remember Andrew Thompson, you know, the old, did you know him, or was he gone before your time?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, yeah. He owned one of the factories down here. Who was he with? I can't think now.
Michigan Brass, would that have been?
It might have been.
Uh-huh.
And we had Thompson's band. I played in the band a couple of years.
Wait a minute. You're not talking about the Jackie band?
Yeah.
That's the same Thompson?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
He had that. He was nice, though.
Were in the Jackie band?
Yeah. And in the pools, and out of the pools, were in. Bud's in the one left outside of Jay. Well, I'm on the next generation. They're about 65. See, when I had a grand opening, an open house when I was 80, I talked so much that day I guess I cracked my voice. Now when I talk a lot, I get hoarse. I could hardly talk that night.
Oh, you dared.
Because we had 300 people in a couple hours.
What did you play in the Jackie Band?
Saxophone.
I
still got one of the saxophones left, and I haven't touched it.
I didn't know if that was a marching band or a concert.
Yeah.
It was a marching band.
Oh, yeah, we gave a concert. Yeah. Excuse me. Before I was in it, I guess I was in it in about 1920. They were founded about 1917. They even went to Chicago one time.
Hmm.
And they played at the pier there and everything.
Oh, yeah, the Navy Pier.
Yeah.
Because you did have Navy uniforms then.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then one time when I was only in it 2 years. I was in the high school cadets for 2 years. We had high school cadets. 1918 and 1919, we got half credit each year. That was during the war side.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I got all those pictures yet. I got the high school picture the year I graduated, just down the basement here. But I think somebody said they thought they had it at the museum. Well, Dave, you know, last week, this morning, Nancy Goosecraft called me up. She says she wanted to know all about the horse.
Oh, yes.
And so I told her.
Yeah, the one that we have, yeah.
She said, "Well, will you come down?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, we got a gift up to a play, and on display, and she
good.
Wanted some of the dope, you know, the name and all that."
Uh-huh.
And I hope someday, if they don't want a buggy, I see buggies for sale,
uh-huh.
but I guess I'd buy one if they might not have room. But I said to somebody, Chad Anderson, if they can't use a buggy, I said, "I'll give them, I just quit riding this summer."
Did you really?
Yeah, the day before I was 85, I rode with Sally and Sandy,
uh-huh.
and I had it in my mind that this year I should quit.
Uh-huh.
And so I left the saddles out there. I was out there yesterday, but I didn't bring them back yet. I got to get them. I've got a Western that I've used most of the time, especially the last couple of years. I used to use the English saddle. I like the English better. But the Western I could get on better on a tall horse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought if they wanted the saddle, I'd give them the saddle I was using. And that would be an antique. It's not old, but only 20 years old, but it don't look it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I think I'll either that or buy them a buggy any time. And I've got a new harness downstairs, but it's too small. And one time I talked to Betty Anderson, and she's got one too. And I thought, well, between the two of us, we could otherwise trade them in. And get a harness to fit them if they ever want a buggy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be glad to buy the buggy. I guess as crazy as I was when I was a kid. But I don't want to drive anymore. I had enough of that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it looks so nice to see a horse now with a cutter. But I used to remember when I got cold toes, when we'd go out for a ride, you know. I liked the ride better because he kept moving.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get cold toes.
Well, you had your first buggy when you were what?
Right there.
Yeah, right. There
I had
it is.
That one when I was, I got that one when I was 10 years old. 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. 1913.
Didn't you tell me you went down to the boat to get that?
Yeah, that's the one we went down to the boat. We weren't on fast time in those days, you know. And so when we went down there at 5 o'clock in the morning, it was light already in May.
Uh-huh.
And, well, my uncle sent a telegram the day before. My dad didn't like to go to Chicago, so he went over to my uncle and bought it, and $100 for the whole outfit. And so we went met the Alabama, and the pony had been clipped, and it was a cold morning, and he just trotted like Sam Hill. I beat my dad out the other end of town with a big horse, and the Tribune was right where it was in the middle of the block. It's 100 block.
Sure, where the office supply is now. Uh-huh.
And old Horace Nichols, Harry's father, he came out and to see the pony, you know, because nobody ever had, there weren't many ponies around here. And so it was in the paper that night, and for years, every 20 or 40 years it was in that I got my pony. But the last year it was a 75 years, but it wasn't in. And I was waiting to see, you know, but they got new people down there and they
sure.
got all that stuff.
Yeah, that's...
But I was looking for it. And then, that was in 1913.
Now, your dad didn't have a car then.
No, we got a first car we had was a truck made here.
The Panhard,
yeah.
The Apex or
yeah.
whatever.
Ours was a Panhard, but they changed the name in a year or two. They made them 4 years, but in a year or two they changed it to Apex.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I told you the story when I had it one noon when I was a freshman in high school. My dad put me behind the wheel one day, and it's one noon. He was home for dinner, and I was home from school. You know, just a kid,
fourteen.
And he said, well, how would you like to learn to drive today? I said, okay. And he said, get behind the wheel. And we drove right downtown. See, there weren't hardly any cars. And then one noon in the fall that year, I was 15 then. I was only 14 when I started. And I didn't have license yet. Didn't have to have license yet.
Uh-huh.
And I started right after that. And I had it one noon, went down to my grandmother's where that, on the corner across from the piano factory, where that veteran's building is.
Oh, sure,
my grandmother's house.
Either Eagles or VFW
yeah,
or one of those.
My grandmother lived there. They had a house. Mm-hmm. I got a picture. I found it around someplace later. I went down to her because I thought it was nice to be able to go down to your grandmother's and drive a truck, you know.
Sure.
And when I went out to start it, I had to crank it. Shook like a leaf. And all of a sudden, all the oil went out. So I called my dad, and I had to hurry to school. And he called the factory, and they came and got it, and they put a brand new motor in, free. And then our hard tires, and my dad, he'd go driving yards around town, and people all had chickens, and he gets stuck so easy because it wasn't, you know, it was light, and those wheels would spin in the sand.
Yeah, sure.
But then after that, about 1920, we got a real truck. And that was more fun to drive. That had regular tires. But in the beginning, it was all right. It was fun.
Was it one of the first cars in town?
Yeah.
The Panhard.
Well, there was a few others. The only one I can remember was Andrew Thompson we were talking about.
Yes, right. Yeah.
He had a Mitchell. My cousin Abe, that used to have a garage, he started out and he sold a couple of Mitchells, I saw. I thought there were two of them. I think they had one in Andrew Thompson. And then Mrs. J.F. Johnson had one called a Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a car. And I can't remember, I imagine that Robin and those cars did too.
Uh-huh.
But you know, back of our church on the corner of Columbus and 3rd, where the filling station was just taken down.
Yes.
That
right.
used to be a livery stable.
Read about that,
yeah. And then later, John Boyd, when the cars came, Ed Smith owned it last, and he had a sale and sold all the horses. And then John Boyd had a garage he repaired for Walter Boyd's father.
Uh-huh.
And but we used to, you know, go to church on Sunday, and my dad knew Dan Riley had owned it one time when we stopped in the office and at the livery stable. We were all horsey, you know.
Uh-huh.
Even
oh,
as
sure.
A kid. Yeah. My kid, we always had a team or more and a driver besides the ponies, you know. And it was fun.
You know, I'm amazed in all, well, of course, you were enthused about pigeons and horses, but airplanes never entered your life.
No, I like to fly commercially, but I'm not interested. I'm not mechanically minded at all.
Yeah.
I don't even like to put a washer in the...
in sync.
No.
I agree with you. I can't do anything.
I don't like to do anything like that. Of course, I guess my wife spoiled me too. If she couldn't do something, she'd get somebody. Because I tell you, Dave, I could hardly wait till I got the storm warning. And I was in there last week and I said, you know, on Monday mornings, I'd be there if I could 7:45.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'd like to be there alone. Check up for the week and look everything over. And just to be alone in the store.
Sure.
And I enjoyed it that way till the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but
yeah.
A lot of people, they don't understand it.
Yeah.
They can hardly wait till they quit.
Yeah,
my dad sold out when he was 49. You know how a partnership goes sometimes. Well, that runs like a lot of them. Yeah, he's either buy or sell, and my uncle didn't sell, so my dad sold.
Uh-huh.
Well, my dad lived 20 years. But I can say that he was never exactly the same as when he was working.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was a lot of fun. That's why I didn't get married when I was almost 40. I was 39 2/3. But I had it so good home, My folks were young with me, even though they were 26 years older. But they would ride them home from work on the store on Saturday night when we were open Saturday night at 10:30. We were closed late, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, let's take a ride the Oval. Oh, they're ready to go. Well, yeah. I had fun with them.
Well, sure.
But I went with Betty 10 years before we were married.
Yeah.
Knew her well all my life.
Had you gone to high school with her?
She was a year behind me.
Uh-huh.
I graduated in 22 and she in 23. But I went out with her a few times in high school, and then we didn't go out together until 33. One night, one of my boyfriends, and we were at a meeting at church, and I said, listen, she went around with my cousin, and I said, what do you say we take the twins out tonight? And he was 40 and women. He was 6 and a half years older than I am, so I was 30. So he was 36 and a half. I said, let's take the twins out tonight. And that was the beginning. And the other 10 years.
We were talking about the theater, the Grand Theater, one time, and you were trying to date it. And
well, 1916 around there. Because the girls in my class, Martha Elliott and Mary Cavanaugh, named it.
Yeah, okay.
They got a year passed to the show.
Okay, that's how you knew.
But the first time I went up, I think was in 29, you'd go over there and you'd go up for 250.
Uh-huh.
Well, one afternoon, you remember Henry Ferozzi used to be in the security bank?
Sure.
Well, his father was a nice father, and Henry was too, of course. But old John W. was, he sold my first insurance policy that just came due this year. 85, they pay off.
And, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was paid up since I was 41,
uh-huh.
and 44 years, it was paid up, and they paid me off in September.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And,
so you can die now.
Yeah, I don't have any life insurance left, too.
Sure.
Only the policies that pay me so much a month, and they were guaranteed 10 years, and I've already collected 25.
Huh. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, in those days, Dave, you thought $25 a week would be enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30, you know, way back when I started, in the 20s.
Sure.
See, I took it out before I was in the store.
Uh-huh.
In 1924, when I was 21, I took the first policy out. Well, in those days, you thought if you had $150 a month coming in, you would be a lot of
it. Sure.
But
right.
Now it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's having come, you know.
Yeah.
And,
spend money now.
Yeah. But it was fun.
But you did, you flew in the airplane?
Oh, yeah, where? One day, I was on a Wednesday afternoon. You didn't always know what to do. If it wasn't hunting season, you couldn't play with the pigeons all the time.
And you always closed on Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, I was the last. I was doing it yet when I quit. Mike opened the next week. But I don't know, when I was first in, everybody closed.
That's right. What was the reason for that? I never.
So they could, employees could have a day off. The average man in the factory, and when I was a kid, he worked from 7 to 6.
7 in the morning till 6 at night?
6 days a week.
Uh-huh.
My dad worked in the tannery when he was 18 for $4 a week in all those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a man that drove our team for the store. He got $12 a week, when I remember, working those hours. He'd get the team out at 7 o'clock in the morning, put them back at night. $12 a week.
Gee.
You know, that's why when I see these kids spending money like water, they don't know what times are.
Yeah, right. It's kind of hard to relate, isn't it?
We've seen everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, one Wednesday afternoon, I walked down, I rode down, I took a ride, and I wasn't going with any girls in there. And I went down the street and I saw John W. Ferox, Henry's father. I said, Mr. Ferox, you want to go over to me? I'm going over to the airport. And it's crazy there. And I got over there, and the fellow said, how'd you like to go up for $250? I said, guys, I'll leave a will. So I went up, and then the next summer, my sister was still home. She graduated high school in 30. And I said, let's go over to the airport and go up together. So when we came home, I said to my mother, did you hear that airplane over the house a little bit? It was something in those days because there wasn't any commercial.
Sure. Yeah.
She said, yes, I did. It was because they flew right over our house. Well, I said, we were both up. She said, I don't care if you go up. And she said, don't both go at the same time.
Now, how could you get, you had to have a pilot. Was it open cockpit?
Yeah.
Open cockpit.
You know, wind through your hair, you know?
Sure. So you had to have two of you sitting in the back seat?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Of course, I was sin and Noah was too.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
It was $5 for the two, you know.
Now, that's 29.
Yeah. Because Noah graduated in 30, and then went to Hope 2.5 years and finished in North Carolina and never came back. Well, just a visit, sir.
Okay, now how about, we're talking about the technology, how about radio?
We got a radio, I would say about 27 or 28,
mm-hmm.
because my sister was going with a boy, and they were in high school, and he graduated in 29, and she in 30, and he was selling for Pelton Colson, no, Ford Barnett. He mm-hmm. had the agency, the Philco's. In Cotty Kinkman's building, in the furniture store, next to the bank.
Oh, yes, okay, got it, okay.
He was in there, and we bought one through this boy. So that was about 28, because I remember when I was home at noon from the store, we always liked to get WTMJ, because they had a band that played all the latest songs, you know.
WTMJ?
Yeah.
Is that still around?
I think so.
Was it Muskegon?
No, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee. Okay, oh, then yeah, still around there. Sure,
it is. It was a good band,
sure.
You know.
Still around.
And I'd stay home until I could just make it through the back in an hour to the store because it was some damn music like that, you know.
Now, that was 27. I've
got a Edison Victrola downstairs that we got in 1917. I had it up in the store for 20-some years, and the last year Jack brought it home. And it's in the basement now. It plays, but you know, some of the records are that thick. I got them all down there. But I told Mary, if you don't want it, I'm going to give it to my nephews. They'd like to have it. Well, one nephew that's a teacher down in North Carolina, he came up with his father-in-law in the truck last summer to get three old beds. The one he and my mother had two brass beds, old ones. I was sick of them because I saw them all my life. And the bed that I slept in, and their mother, a white iron bed, who babies without sitting on the side.
Sure.
So he wanted them so badly, so they came up. I said, well, you better come because Ray died, and I got all that stuff up there yet. I got some stuff up there yet, but I should get it, but they don't say anything. But there isn't too much left, no.
You were talking about the good band music. Do you remember what bands they were?
Well, you know, I mean, right after that, we used to get Rudy Valley.
Oh, yes.
And Wayne Kane.
Wayne, yeah.
And see, that's about the same time Lawrence Welk started off, you see, in the 20s.
Sure,
gosh, you sit there with your hands folded pretty near and your eyes closed. You're listening, you know?
Yeah. Now, I tell you, the other one that you probably were listening to, Paul Whiteman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
sure.
I think we had some records. You know, well, those were great days. We didn't get a television here because when Mary was a little girl, I was 44 when she was born, and I think she was 11, so that's 55. So that's 30 years. So we had a television. This one I had 12 years and was as good as when I bought it.
Yeah,
and I didn't get known. I thought, what's the use? That we had a lot of fun.
Well, you had the bands that came right here to Grand Haven, of course.
The one in here,
yeah.
In the pavilion. And I remember this, the pavilion by Billmeyer, where that condo is now, there was a pavilion there, you know.
Yes.
And they'd have bands that came and stayed all summer. A lot of times, Muskegon fellas, and they'd board or take a cottage right out the lake here. And I remember in the summer of 21, I took my cousin Don Rosso's mother. She wasn't married. She was 10 years older. We went up to the dance there one night. She was 10 years old. But she thought it was a treat because she was home for the summer. She taught in Battle Creek, you know. And stuff like... But they had dances out there at the lake in that old pavilion 4 nights a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and Saturdays. But it was, you know, just nice, clean, heavy.
Sure.
It was a dry period, you know.
Yeah.
It was dry then.
How'd you get out to the pavilion?
Well, you
Lake had, Avenue?
Pardon?
Went out Lake Avenue?
Well, they either come back, yeah, and it could go out the other way, too. But it's a lot of times... But, you know, most of the time we went on the... In Irving.
In that too? Okay,
on
I was
getting that. You left you off there. There's only nickel to go out.
Uh-huh.
And when you get to the corner where the post office used to be,
mm-hmm.
Then they just, it was open on the side, and they just turned the seats over and you headed the other way.
Uh-huh. Sure. And that's what they did. They just shuttled back and forth out to the pavilion.
Well, you know, in an afternoon, my mother, when I was just a little kid, she said, well, the day we're going to the lake, she'd take an umbrella, it was a sunny day,
mm-hmm.
and we'd get on the park car and go out there, and you know, we'd sit on the beach. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we got a nice green comb there, and the Elgin Foster had it then. And then my mother would sit there with an umbrella for the sun, and then some of the lady friends would come out, and they'd all be sitting in a little group.
Now, actually protecting yourself from the sun, you?
Yeah.
Didn't want to get tan, or...
No. Well, they did. I don't remember that the kids got it brown in those days. But you know, Dave, I'd wear a cap in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
On a hot summer day, you'd think you had to have a cap on and go someplace. I got pictures that way when I was out living on Beach Street, and I left there when I was 10. We'd sit there with an old heavy cap on you.
There's something to go. Yeah, sure, that was style.
Yeah.
Sure. That's... I've read and heard so much about that line that went out to the...
Yeah, and then I went to the loop and turned around. You know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Something else.
That must have been the heyday of the Highland Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, then afterward, when I got in the store a few years later, then I met a lot of those people that stayed all summer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nearest box, so I met him way back, you know, 60 years ago. She's living yet. She's
oh yes, of course.
She's over there.
Sure, 90. That was Claire and what's her name? Claire Mearsbach and
I had it in mind. I can't think now. And
no, anyway, I know who you're talking.
Virginia
about.
Lundberg's mother.
Oh yeah,
Mrs. Otley, one of the nicest women.
Oh, gee.
When my mother died, she wrote me the nicest letter you could get from anybody. But there were people you really had fun waiting on.
When you talk about the Otleys at Highland Park, he was very instrumental in getting that tennis program going up there. Were you a tennis player? Or?
No.
Yeah.
I was always all pets. People ask me now, don't you get lonesome at night? I says, no.
I can hear your birds, of course.
Yeah, well, they all came from Sandy. See, that's Sandy's business now.
Oh, yes.
And I was out there yesterday. Last year he gave me 6 finches for Christmas. Yesterday when I was out there, I went out and got a pair of lovebirds for a party.
Mm-hmm.
And because I hadn't been out for a while. And he said, well, I'm going to give you another finch for a mate for the one you got last year. So I got 7 finches and 3 canaries. I'll tell you another one, Dave. I'll show you the cage pretty soon. About right in the bottom of the depression, one of our good customers came in. They only had one daughter, and they were trying to get her through Western, which was hard to do in those days. He was making about $15 a week out of the pen factory at the end of Washington. And she came in one day and she said, Henry, will you take a canary bird? You pay me about 50 cents a week. And I owed us about 15. And we never worried about it, never sent a bill because it was so good. But she said, will you take a bird cage on the conference? I said, why, sure. So she brought it in, and I said, how much, Mrs. Hannigan, do you want to go out? She said, $5. I said, okay. Well, about 3 or 4 years ago one day, Sandy called me up and said, Henry, I want to give you a nice canary for Christmas. Do you have that old cage that you used to have? See, we moved here when Sandy was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come over here and he monkeyed with my wife. they had raised robins on the summertime, you know, fill all the nests, they'd raise them and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they, Sandy liked everything I did. So he says, could you bring me, hey, you got that old cage yet? I said, well, I don't even know. So I went down in the basement, and there it was, under the steps.
Same old
cage. Yeah. So that's it. And then he said, when he saw it, he said, bring it out, and I'll polish it all up. It's brass. It's a hard one to clean. Right? Today, you know, today or tomorrow, I'll get a clean one. And he gave me a nice canary. And then I bought, the last 2 years ago, I bought this one from him. And this is what they call a water spotter. Mm-hmm. They come from the Netherlands. Now, he's going to take this one pretty quick because he's bought a couple of females, and he's going to breed it to them, mm-hmm. raise them. So he wants to just get one round, and when they're right after Christmas, this one they like to raise, the canaries like to raise. I don't want a monkey, because I got enough outside. But then I've got a 7 finches, another green canary that I bought from Sandy one time, and I guess that's the one he gave me, and the yellow one I bought, and then I got a half finch and a half canary, which is striped.
Hmm.
But I sat on the kitchen table. I have to take them away when my kids come, but most of the time I'm alone anyway, so it don't make any difference. He talks to me when I eat.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know.
Huh.
But, I was always that way. I just can't help it. When I take a girl out to dinner or something, and some of them don't understand you because you don't, I don't play cards. I don't care to go to the shows I can see them on television. And in fact, horse shows too. You can see them good here.
Oh, yes. And you bet.
So, but I'm always dreaming. Now, a lot of times I think they gave me the news because I got too many books on the Davenport. But I think, well, I got to get that one out and look it over. And I remember an ad that I saw a few years ago. Maybe I'll contact the fellow. Sometime I'll watch the fellow's record or show for a couple of years. When I decide I want to try a pair of those, I'll write them or call them up. I called up a fellow in California about a month ago, the first
time.
Now
you're talking pigeons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Called up a fellow in California. We talked 86 minutes. I saw it on the bill. And I thought that's going to be a big bill. And it was only $14. Yeah. And Sandy told me the same thing. Nelson's out there now in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, dude, the kids call all the time. He says, there isn't much. Only $14 for 86 minutes.
That's not bad.
No. He called me up the other night. He said, I couldn't get you last night. Well, I said, I go out one night a week. So I sent him a check yesterday. And now we can ship by parcel post. We're pigeons. I slid some through a few years ago out of here, but the fellas couldn't send any birds back to me through the post office.
Well, how do you put them in a box?
Yeah, you got to have a container that costs $20. And they said it just passed it a year ago. And it has to be the certain container, only one manufacturer. And then you can ship by parcel post. But you save it on the air freight.
Oh, of course,
I paid as high as $105 for three little birds for the freight, air freight.
But now with this...
This time it's going to cost me $45, mm-hmm. $20 for a box and $25 for the postage.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't need these birds, but it was just the color I had them had. Huh. But all my life I've been that way. I mean, we were either rabbits, dogs, beagles for 40 years, and horses. I raised about 4 or 5 colts the last 20, but now I'm through now. I once said I'll never buy a horse, but I still breed.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Where did you keep your horses?
Well, the last 20 years I was with Sandy.
Okay.
So, in 4 months I missed it, or it would have been 20 years with Sandy, and a year and a half over at Mrs. DeWitt's. But way back when I was a kid, we had our own barns.
Uh-huh.
Kept right on Fulton Street.
Sure.
I did in 27 yet. I had a horse for a year or two. Then I'd quit for a while. Then I'd get ants in my pants, you know. And
mm-hmm.
But then in 50, I gave ponies away in the store each year for 5 years.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And that was fun. The first couple of years, people were excited.
Uh-huh.
There'd be 150 standing there when you pull the ticket out. But Darcy, the fifth one, the novelty was gone.
Uh-huh.
Well, we gave rabbits away at Easter, pulling them up. And then I get the tickets the next week. I didn't give them a brown one instead of a white one, or a white one instead of a brown one and all that. But We did a lot of stuff like that. But I had fun with the kids.
Oh, yeah. I can remember the rabbit thing. Yeah.
Yeah. One time, a lady owed me a big bill on the country. She died here or so ago. And she said, would you take some rabbits? I said, yeah, I'll bring them down for Easter, and I'll give them away a drawing, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I thought she was going to bring me a lot of little ones like this, you know. And she came in on Saturday morning, near about like that. A whole bunch of them, about 15, you know. But then next week, though, we only gave one at a time instead of a pair then. But the next week, we got the dickens of a few of them because they had to take brown ones and we didn't give them white ones and all that stuff. That was the end of that. And the last thing we did was when Tim and Jerry and we, together, we gave a little cart because we just happened to have one line that we each had.
Mm-hmm.
And we were always just like friends. We were never like competitors.
Sure.
So we did that 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've seen that Washington Street come and go.
Yeah. Well, Dave, every morning now, I feel the best if I can get ready at 9 o'clock for downtown, go to the post office, I don't see a soul, then come home.
Mm-hmm.
Or meet a lot. And some mornings I don't come back for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come home. But I just like I have to go down in the morning.
Sure. And I see you still dress.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like I never go downtown without a tie.
Yeah.
Except the summer. Uh-huh. And it's hot. I came in one of the people's bank a couple weeks ago. The girl said, you got a tie on. Yeah, I said, I don't feel right if I go downtown without one.
Good for you. The other person that gets out is,
Seymour?
Well, Seymour does. Oh, absolutely.
I saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
He was in high school.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple years younger.
Yeah.
He's about 82 again now.
Yeah.
I hollered at him, but he didn't come. He said it's cold. Otherwise, he'd come across talking.
Sure, he was taking care of Art Welling's dog.
Yeah.
Walking, what was the dog's name? He always had the name of the dog.
I met Art's wife up in the trust department in the bank a couple weeks ago.
Well.
Oh, Art didn't. See, I got married at 40 and Art got married at 50.
Oh, I
know. 54.
Is that right?
See, I knew about that, and when he died, it was in the paper that he was married and it was just 30 years and he was 84.
Uh-huh.
So he was 54. No, Art graduated with us, you know.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
And he went to Michigan.
Yeah, he did well.
And he played football down there. He must have been on your football team here. You had some darn good football teams back then.
Oh, yeah, we had one of the best teams ever.
Yeah.
You know. No, but I went to the games then, but after I was out of high school, I never did.
Yeah.
Because my head always swam. It was always livestock of some sort. And you just don't change. I got one just bought 3 or 4 years ago, and I took a nice woman out. I knew her for years at dinner. And, you know, she says, I can't stand these people. She says, they'll stay home from a trip because they've got a lot of pets.
There you are.
I didn't say anything. I didn't care. Don't listen. But now my kids, you know, I stay one night when I go down.
Uh-huh.
And she says, the other night she said, are you going to stay 2 nights for Christmas? Yeah, but she said, we're the same now. They got 2 collies. They won't let me give the kids rabbits or anything, you know. When my sister's kids used to come up, they're all in their 40s and 50s now. When they were kids, they'd come and they'd drive up in the summer. Then they always went back with pigeons or chickens or rabbits.
Well, you probably are confined with the...
I don't like to be... I tell you, I can hardly wait to get out there and look to see if they're all right.
Yeah.
Get back.
Right. Yeah,
I was going to start breeding earlier this year, get them lined up before Christmas. But I thought if I go, and that should be a bad night, and I've got to stay over 2 nights for that, but I don't like to make Sandy have to water 16 compartments.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy had to come down and do it for me.
Uh-huh.
He's done it when I went away, you know. It's been under for a week. I know I better wait until I have to leave you after Christmas and start lining them up. Because I'm anxious to get them settled in their nest for the compartment for the year so they know where they are. And
sure, sure.
You just keep fooling around and you just hate to quit. Then I think, God, I got twice too many. But the, yeah, if you wouldn't add colors, you wouldn't. But,
You know, I think where you're located now, I keep thinking that maybe this is where you were when you were younger, but you weren't. But had you been, you would have been right at the site where the big bobs or the toboggan run.
No,
a bobsled. It was a bobsled.
Yeah, Second Street.
Yes, right.
Oh, man, I
did
used
you
to.
Ever do it?
Yeah, I went down once or twice, and you're scared stiff when you're a kid, you know. Because
uh-huh.
when they'd go over the car track on Steggity's corner,
yeah.
it was Addison's corner, they had a man with a red light, you know,
uh-huh.
a lantern. He'd wave it. It was an interurban or something.
Uh-huh.
But they would go way down to the, what do you call it, you know, the marina.
Is that
way
right?
Way down there. They'd go that far sometimes
uh-huh.
when it was ice foot. Geez, I don't know if I ever told you this, Dave. You know where the marina is down there?
The wharf?
Yeah.
Yes.
My grandfather used to own that.
Hmm.
And that was, he died in 26. He had three sons. One of them got half of it, and the other two each got a quarter. Well, the ones that he got the quarter, they sold. I don't remember who they sold, but they each got $2,500. They thought it was a lot.
Gee.
But I don't, my uncle Cross, I think his kid may have got mink. And he held on, so they must have gotten more. I don't know who bought it. Then, way back when I was a little kid, my grandfather used to haul wood from the North Shore, out where you are.
Mm-hmm.
They cut trees down and haul wood with a team.
Hmm.
And old Judd Soule owned a lot of lake property out there. I don't know where it was. Maybe closer to the pier or no.
Mm-hmm.
But my he wanted to sell it to my grandfather, and he said he'd give him time to pay it and everything. But everybody he talked to discouraged him. You better not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear my mother talking about it yet.
And that would have been the lakefront property,
right?
Too, the whole bit.
Sure, there wasn't much out there when I was a kid.
Sure.
I remember going out to when a fellow by the name of Ben Rosemont lived on that road. He had a dairy out there, pretty near to the lake. And hen, there wasn't anything around there. There wasn't even a good road, you know, just a sand road.
Sure.
Of course, we had horses, that's why we got there, you know. We got all around with a pony buggy or,
sure.
or a horse buggy.
Yeah. There's still a Rosemont living out there, and I bet it's related.
Could be his son.
Sure.
Yet.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
And he was just married when we were out there. And while we went out there, we got a fellow by the name of Herb Archon. He's long dead. He was an older man, but he said, Ben Roseman's got some pigeons. What the Samuel went out there. They were just commons like
this. You see flying around the churches.
Oh, yeah. The most fun we had one time, I'll never forget, it was on the 20th of February, my grandfather's birthday. My cousin Art.
What year now was it?
Well, let's see, my grandfather was. We had that pony. So that one we had, that was about 19. We had him from 13 to 15. So it must have been the winter of 1914.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Saturday afternoon, and we were going to my grandmother's house where I said they lived. We got my grandfather's birthday, and we always had some kind of a, what do they call it, head cheese or something?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
That and hot chocolate. My grandmother always had it when it was a birthday. So, but I went with my cousin Art, he was 4 years older, out to a fellow by the name of Art Stone. He lived just over Gidley Bridge. There was only one or two houses. And we got there, he said, well, you leave the pony here and we'll go with my horse on sleigh. So we went down the old Beechtree Road,
mm-hmm.
way up to where the Czechs lived. That was way beyond Buchanan. We went out there, and the snow was so deep we couldn't roll out when we had to pass another horse. And I sat on my cousin's lap, couldn't have froze. We got out there, we went out to buy rabbits because we thought we knew they had a lot of them in the summer before. We went to the door, and we said, do you have some rabbits to sell? And he said, no, we don't have any. And we went out there. And so then on the way back, our Stone's mother had us come in the house, and we had a cup of tea. Well, that warmed us up. Well, then we came down, and right in the bottom of Gidley Bridge, where the bridge is itself, uh-huh. isn't good?
Yeah.
there was ruts. They didn't plow in those days. And the Hart was a little heavier than I was. And we tipped over in the cutter on his side while we just fell in the snow on the pony, you know, that small pony. And then we just got up and put it up and got home. And I went to my grandmother's with a puppy. And we
Well, you had a cart here,
yeah,
of course, but
well,
you...
We bought a nice cutter, like you see in big horses, in a pony size for Nat Robbins, Hunt Robbins, the start of the theater. He had it when he was a kid, and they never did anything. We bought it for $5. It was like new.
Gee.
It'd been up in the barn there, that nice barn where the offices are now.
Sure,
it was in that barn. You know. And then we used it a few years, and then, of course, we got a larger pony. Dave, if I get all the pictures out of all the ponies and everything we had, you'd have to stay all weekend. But you know, a lot of people don't get a kick out of it. I pull them out myself at night. Son. I get the old high school annuals from 1918 and so on.
If somebody
dies and I wonder, if their age isn't in the paper, I wonder how old they were and so on. I get out the high school annuals, say 1918. And it gives all those that graduated, you know, back from my aunt graduated in 1899. So from down there, you can always look them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, you know, when you say you look back, there aren't many people left in your era.
No,
that you can talk to about this.
A lot of them aren't interested.
Uh-huh.
I ask people stuff, things sometimes. Now, when was that? Of course, Sim was younger, and he came over as a kid, you know, from the Netherlands.
Uh-huh. And who is Sim?
Sim from Wales.
Seymour.
Yeah, we call him Sim in high school.
Oh, and he's from the Netherlands.
Yeah, he was born over there.
Oh, I see.
He and his twin brother, and he's got a sister yet. And Sim and his brother, they get together and everything, but they're entirely different.
Uh-huh.
Gil was always quite a church worker, and Sim just the opposite.
Sure.
But
so Gil and he are twins.
Yeah.
Now I never were of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they were in high school. I think they were freshmen when we were seniors.
Uh-huh.
And they used to live in a house. You know where Doc Groat used to live on the corner of Franklin and 7th?
Yes.
Well, right back of there, on the parking lot of the...
It's gone now,
There was a house there, and they lived there.
Oh.
And then later, or before, they lived on 2nd Street, and I forgot, we covered that a few weeks ago. It was right from near there at the school. And right across from that, the old school, the high school they tore down, you see?
Yes.
That was built just the year I graduated. We walked across the stage, but it was the same situation, Dave, as it is today. They didn't want to spend the money to build one, but they were talking about it when we were freshmen, and they never got it through until we were seniors. And then it didn't cost much in those days, maybe a quarter of a million.
Sure.
Something like that.
That I have seen since moving here is that more people are interested in saving some of the old homes now. You're seeing these homes being rebuilt or restored.
You know, Dave, I'm funny. No, I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
I think you've got to have progress.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see the jail going on. I'd rather have them build it here. But you dare to say it much because a lot of them are against it.
Uh-huh.
But the Scots in my mother's house.
Yes.
Why, they just came to town, 20 years ago, and all the same other couple, that one night next door, Kitty Ball's house.
The Rose.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're the ones that are pushing the most to keep the old house.
That's right. Oh, sure. There's a great...
I tell you, though, Dave, I don't let any of that stuff bother.
Uh-huh.
If they want it that way, all right. But I don't look at it that way. Now, you see, that one that's still left across from the bank, right across in the corner of the gray house,
The one that John Carlisle fixed up? Is that the one?
No. Well, John is on downtown.
Yes, okay.
Well, the one on...
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about now.
On 4th Street.
Yes, okay.
Well, you see, that was my aunt's house at the Jestimus, my father's sister.
Oh, on the corner there?
Yeah, the gray one.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah.
The one that...
I don't know who lives there.
Howard... I can't think of his last name now.
Oh, you mean on the other corner in Bailey?
Nope, not Howard Bailey, no. That one's gone.
Yeah,
that's
well,
gone.
My Aunt Annie Jessen lived there as long as I can remember, until she died in 53.
Uh-huh.
And, see, her son was Elmer, the dentist.
Oh, yes, Elmer Justin.
Yeah.
Oh,
see,
okay.
He's my cousin, you see.
Oh.
His mother and my father.
Uh-huh.
And I just got all the pictures there. I got her picture, and I just put the dates on her mother, my grandmother Coyman, and Elmer's mother was her daughter, and the two girls were my grandmother. So I just put the dates on for my kids, because otherwise they wouldn't know it.
Yeah. Boy, you've got to date pictures.
Yeah, I'm starting to do it. It'll take me a long time. I got pictures all over the house.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, some days I don't do a thing, and the next day I do a lot. If I get downtown, you don't do anything you're going to do. Well, it depends who you meet, you know.
Sure.
For a while there, I get out and get the press at the Hostetter, and holy smoke, you get some woman in there, and we'd stand there for 2 hours. Of course, the customers came in to get back out of the way.
Yeah.
But we had a whale of a time.
What's left downtown? Yonker Hardware, but that wasn't always there, was
no.
it?
No. You see, when they started, his Hike Yonker, Alvin's father, and Pete Robinson, they bought out Boomgard. Well, you know where the Mazzani Temple is now. On Fulton Street.
Oh, yes, okay.
Well, right across the street on the corner is a vacant lot.
Okay,
that's,
yes.
That's where Boomgard's store was.
I'll be
darned. As long as I can remember as a kid. When I was born, it was there already.
Isn't there still a foundation there?
It could be.
Yeah.
And then there used to be a pump out there. When I was just a little kid, everybody would meet there at night. They all go and get a pail of fresh pump water.
I'll be darned.
And Pete Copeland's saloon was down on the other corner, and then others would go with a 10-cent pail for that. But I can remember. I'll never forget. Doc Walkley lived right next to where my aunt lived on 4th, where Veenstra lived.
Oh, yes, okay.
Doc Walkley was the man that brought me into the world.
Sure, and there was a store, a meat market right across the street there.
Yeah, that's John Deep House.
Okay.
That was there all the years while I lived there.
Yeah.
And but Walkley lived in that house, and one time he had all gold crowns, you know.
Even on his front teeth?
Yeah, all of them. And we met him one day down at Boomgard's pump. And I he was, you know, the old family doctor you felt like you know. And I was only a little kid, under 7. And I went up to him and I said, Doc, Dr. Walker, when are you going to bring me a baby sister? Well, he says, Henry, he says, all I've got right now are black ones. Almost 9, and I had a sister.
Listen, I want to get back to that pump. This is the first I've heard of it.
Oh, and everybody was down there.
How did it get its name?
Boomgard's Pump from Boomgard Hardware.
All right. And he provided that pump for people, charge
them.
Oh,
and water trough for horses.
Huh. And it was good advertising for it.
Yeah. I tell you, Dave, in 1920... Johnny Verdine, that was a doctor Verdine, that died a few years ago.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
He graduated a year before me. We went around together, went all the girls together in high school and all that stuff. Well, in the summer of 20, he worked at the old corn planter, the refrigerator.
Out to where Olberg was.
Yeah, he worked in there. And I and Sim Dornbos and I, we worked at the piano factory, 35 cents an hour, $15 a week.
Now, there's another Sim. Was he Seymour also?
Yeah. He's dead, too. His wife lives in Muskegon. I met her a couple of years ago, Vivian Fowler. Well, anyway, we worked there in that summer. And, let's see. I'd say 50 hours a week and 30 cents an hour. 30 cents an hour. $15 a week. And then my dad wanted to get away because my uncle and my dad never got away out of life. My uncle and aunt were coming out from North Carolina, so I had to drive the truck a week. So I quit the piano factory to work for my dad. And then my dad paid me a little more, I guess he gave me 25 for a week to drive the truck. And I was, well, just as thin as I am now, it was hard to lift those 100-pounders, but we did it. Well, anyway, then I went down to Boomgard's. We lived a little, you know, not far away. And bought a 22 rifle for $28. Repeating 22 rifle. It has a 15 shorts, 12 longs or extra long 10 shot, and a nickel plated breech, and I still have it.
It's a pump.
Yeah. It was the first. I still have it.
I'll be dead.
But I'm going to let some fellow that's still going to the kennel, he effort, I believe. I haven't shot it for 40 years, so it don't work so good.
Yeah.
But it looks like new.
Huh.
And just the year before that, in 1919, right next to my store was Bocce's Hardware Store. And old, you remember Hazel Colson?
Sure.
Well, Hazel's father had a, he built the building. It won't be 100 years old next year, you know. And he was in the hardware business, but he retired about 5 years before I went in the store. But he had patience. He took me out. My dad was too busy, but old Garrett took me out to Clark's farm and had me shoot a shotgun, showed me what to do. So I bought a shotgun in the hardware store there. He had sold out to Claude Beekamo, who lived right over here, and the Depression came along and Claude couldn't make it, you know, it was tough going.
Mm-hmm.
And so he quit then. And he could have bought the building for $3,500, the mortgage on the building, the security bank had it in state. And he could have bought it for $3,500 for a mortgage, but Dave, you didn't have the $3,500.
No.
I should have bought it because I would have went sideways instead of putting a piece on the back when I remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too late. But,
you say security first, it was Grand Haven State.
Yeah.
Then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Now, what other stores? I'll bet there are no stores left. Well, now, the Mulder's drugstore was there when you were there.
Well, when I was a kid, way back, it was Venerbeans. Claude Venerbeans' father.
Yeah.
Well, then later it was two brothers, Tillman brothers. They were either nephews of Gus Tillman that had the Ford agency.
Oh, yes.
They had, this is the beginning of the war, they had Tillman Brothers drugstore. That's where they sold is Edison Victrolas.
Mm.
That's where ours came from 70 years ago last Christmas.
Well, you're talking about the First World War.
Yeah.
Then.
And that's when the Tillman Brothers bought out Vanderbilt. Well, they both had to go on the service.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I guess that's about the time that John Mulder bought
it.
And John had it until, well, then my brother-in-law, John Voss, he worked for John Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, John owned the one on 7th Street. That was built while we lived out.
That was Voss's, sure.
And, uh-huh. You see, that was built by Hank Boyd built the building. He lived next door. He was he had a blacksmith shop. And then Hendrickson Presley.
Mm-hmm.
When it was first started, it was Hendrickson Presley.
Uh-huh.
And that was be the great uncle of the one who's got the garage out.
Yeah, uh-huh.
His
sure.
great uncle. With Hendrickson Presley drugstore. And then I don't know if there's anybody in between, and John Mulder bought it too and had both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I guess he wanted to get rid of them, so did John Voss. And John, you know, John worked this long hours, he didn't have much on his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then John died in 65.
But, so the, was Reichert's there when you first started?
Reichert, no. Well, Reichert started in 1907 when I was only four. And I can remember that little building there where there's a record player, right on this side of the jewelry store. That long little building.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's some kind of a record shop in there now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I walked in there and they just asked me to fix the telephone like that because I got it. Batteries off, but you don't know where to go with it. And you know, I thought if I ever wanted to buy anything, I saw it, I'll go in there. But you know, I had kids standing there drinking pop, and how do you ask? I hate to ask you what you want. I thought, I'll never go back. Well, that's where John Reichardt started.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember going in there and when I was about five and get cranes for a nickel.
Uh-huh.
I was talking with Phil about it one
day. He's there.
And, no, then I went in later and I had a lamp that I bought from John Reichardt in the gift shop in 22 for Christmas. My mother, a blue face, just as mild as anything you got today. And I don't remember what I paid for it, but my cousin Grace Russell went with me to pick it off from my mother. Well, when my mother died, I took it home here. And so finally this past year, I gave it to my daughter. She didn't want it before. Now she's 41 now,
uh-huh.
And she's starting to appreciate it.
She sees the value of it, yeah.
So I gave it to her. All I needed was a new shade.
Uh-huh.
No, like these lamps, I don't get sick of them. We've had them 41 years. Here's a little rocker my dad had. So it's about 110 years old.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We had it. My youngest granddaughter took the shoes off a couple weeks ago before we put them on. But we had it rechained one time and had it refinished about 40 years ago. Well, it's over 100 years old. Eh?
Well, look at that.
But my daughter, when the kids were small, I wanted to give it to her. She got it from the sun.
Sure.
But
it's crazy.
It used to stand in my mother's bay window all the time. Now we've had it here all the time for 40 years.
I wonder who made that.
I don't know. But I can tell you who caned it. A fellow by the name of John Schwartz down on Jackson Street. He worked at the Banner Factory, but he re-caned it for us.
How long ago was that? Probably 30 years ago?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
50.
Yeah.
See, my dad was born in 75, so you know how old he is, 110.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. And this doll is one of Mary's, but cute. I wanted to give it to her kids to take home what she wants. I've got a doll of my wife that's over 80 years old. It's got stumps for hands. But we had a modern face put on it, but the body is the old type, you know,
sure.
80 years
sure.
old. But I, Mary said, I quit asking her. Jack said when we were here in Thanksgiving, he said, don't bring any more for a while. We do. Every once in a while, I'll take a boatload down. You know. We've got dishes day when I haven't even think about it. You know. I've got mustache cups for my grandfather.
Huh. And he really used them?
Oh, yeah. We got them right in the kitchen. I'll show them
to
you. But, you know, it's fun. But there's so many people aren't interested.
Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
with pigeons. Nobody wants to talk pigeons.
Yeah.
I, one of my friends that I met 35 years ago, his wife, I got in while he was down here about a month ago. She just died of cancer in Grand Rapids. Well, I knew him so well that I hadn't been in contact with him much, but he did come down to show a couple weeks ago. So I sent him a plant. I thought, guys, I thought that much of him. And so I did. He called me up the night before last, and he said, Henry, I understand. He was so appreciative. He said, you know what we're going to do? I'm coming and get you someday. He just retired. He called on all the doctors for the medical things.
Uh-huh.
And he's retired now. He said, I'm coming to get you, and we're going to either a pigeon show or a dog show. But he's all setters now.
Uh-huh.
But I don't care. I tell you, I hope he don't ask me. I'm contented right here. but he might. He's just that kind. But he was such a nice fellow. He weighed about 400. But now he lost quite a little, but he's a lot of fun. He must weigh about 250 now.
Yeah, still big.
Yeah, because his legs are bothering him because he had his wife home towards the last and tried to wait on her, you know. And the day we came to the show, he got a nurse to come in so he could come for a couple hours down the walk alone. But it was fun. But I don't have, you see, at the Holland Show, I've shown there for 40 years. But there's hardly any left of the old folks.
Uh-huh.
It's all young squirts.
Yeah.
But years ago, I knew most of them. Now there's a Doc Hart, retired on Niles. He knew of me and I knew of him, but we never met until 2 years ago, and we've been at the show every year, but never knew each other. Well, he didn't come this year. So I don't know what happened to him. I'll call him up and I'll go down for Christmas and see what's up.
Yeah.
But
you said the reason you didn't want to go to a dog show, you're afraid you might come home with a dog.
Yeah, well, he told me when he was at the last show, he hadn't done any breeding at all. He's going to breed this year. And he's about 72. But he said one of his friends, because he's got 14 senators right in town in Grand Rapids, between his daughter and his son and his own house, all across from each other. It's a nice area where they got good cages, you know, cement and everything. I saw him one day, but they weren't home. I wouldn't go up, and Ray was still living. He took me up on Wednesday afternoon, and he always liked them too, so we went out there. I'm Jerome, and we found it right away, but I don't want to go up. I don't get on Grand Avenue anymore.
Yeah, that's tough driving.
10 years ago, when Daddy was first going, I'd go up at night, take a woman up, we'd go to the Nipissons or
Surfing. Oh,
But not in the last 10 years, I've been changing. I don't drive as much at night. I came home from Zealand and Porcolo a couple, and I got 3-4 times right at the start, but I know those roads, but I don't like to go into the other stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But I tell you, they can't get over. I got a whole night plan. If I feel good, I just get sleepy if I don't sleep in the afternoon. And then I listen to the business or something, and then I got something planned, just like a whole evening, you know.
You start your day then.
Yeah. Well, most of the nights I stay up until 11:30.
Yeah.
Good. And I like to eat. This morning I eat breakfast at 6:30.
Yeah, you do get up early.
I like a good breakfast. And a lot of them say, "Oh, I like to go out." I said, "I don't." And I don't. I get someplace. You get if you go to restaurants, they go, like, "Shoot, I meet so many people, they don't get back."
Well, but now will you go downtown today?
This afternoon to get fit. I was in there this morning. I got a haircut.
Yes.
And
where, at the Glow?
Yeah. See, I've been going there for 100 years.
Yeah, that's Prelznick.
Yeah.
And now his son.
Yeah, when Jim was there, when my dad was still living, before he had his leg off, and in the 30s, Jimmy, Ron's father.
Sure.
And Bud Key and my dad, before it was, I was telling him last week when we were down there at Fort Sheldon, right across from the big plant.
Yes.
That field, there was nothing there then in the, I was in the 30s because my dad had his leg taken off in 39, and that's going to be 50 years. Jim, there were four of us were rabbit hunting, right in that field right there. We didn't have a thing. My dad didn't carry a gun. All he did was pick up a stick about that long. He was walking along, and we were all looking. All of a sudden, my dad stood there with a rabbit, and we didn't have any. We all had guns. And my dad started to see one sitting in the grass, and he hit him a crank gun. I told Ron about that a couple weeks ago, you know. So last week when we went out to Sandy Point for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
I figured it was my turn, because I've been to Jack's parents several times in Granville, and I've been to Mary's and Jack's so many times. I said, "This year you come down and we'll..." I had reservations for the 8 of us. It made me think of it when we were right there, you know. There was, and where the plant is and back in there along the lake, why, the squirrels, they seemed like they were that big in those days, you know. Big box squirrels.
Oh, sure.
Now, I have all kinds of squirrels here.
I see one. You've got a black one out here.
No, that's all we have is black and a few grays.
Uh-huh.
I fed them all the time until just a couple months ago. They dug them along all the time.
Uh-huh.
But they come through here all the time anyway.
Sure.
And I think they get a little feed because I wash out the pan sometimes there's a little corn.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah. I bought a lot. I don't know how many. I guess I bought 300 pounds of sunflower seeds at once. So when I was going, I thought I'd quit because I had fun. I had 10 there sometime eating. One day it was up to 18 the morning does. But this year I didn't feed them and they didn't come either.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, I'll get back into flowers again next year. I got a good fellow to do it, the spading and so on.
Uh-huh.
And it's still better than moving to a condo or something.
You bet. Yeah, stay here.
You don't have
darn right.
And I like a monkey. I said, and then my daughter says, well, if the dust, you know, I always wear a mask and a coat because they raise a lot of dust.
Oh, I see.
And she said, if you ever have to get up, then you can go back to rabbits again. But, you know, it's comical. Mary's 41, and she's always watching the ads in the South Bend paper. And she said, there's a good beagle for sale.
Well, you've got enough pets.
Yeah, I don't need any more.
Yeah.
But I never know what I'm going to do today. I may read an ad, some good breeder someplace, a pigeon or something, and all this, maybe 3-4 years later, I think, right now I read, I'm going to try. Uh-huh. I only want a pair or something. Uh-huh. But the last 5 years now, we get out of the, I can't keep many, but I do like to go to state show for poultry down to Centerville. For the first weekend, first weekend in May. Well, we stay 3-4 hours and come back. But you see breeds that you never see around the area. Mm-hmm. They come from all over the country, with a couple thousand, 2,500. Mm-hmm. But we were on last year. I took Willis alone to that one, and I was a pigeon show. God, he said, I agree with you. Pigeon men are more friendly than poultry men.
Well, I told you about that show I went to. I had no idea there were that many pigeons.
Oh, yeah. See,
different types, I mean.
Yeah. I tell you the truth, Dave. I might end up with a pair of jackets and show quality. This Willis, he's had a lot of birds. He still has. He built it. I see, I gave him my last horse. I didn't want to sell him. And I said, I had sold him a beautiful Arabian mare about 4 years ago. And then he built this new barn, or he built a new house, he got married again. And the hardwood floor and the stall, and the mare started to get up, he slipped, you know. And she hurt her knee some way, but she got so bad that he eventually had a quarter of a wing. She was only about 10 years old. So I told him one day, I said, I let our mother go to Sandy last year, and we wanted brood mare. And I was starting to think, well, I can have a lot of fun right here, and I want to go away somewhere. Because it's 13 miles to Sandy, and I didn't like to go over the ridge or something all the time.
Yeah, right.
And so I said, I'm going to give the horse away. And he said, I'd like to have him. Well, then I went to the foot doctor, the new one in the legs place.
Yes, yeah.
And I was talking about it one day, and he said, geez, so my father-in-law got away. Well, I didn't say that. So when I went there on Labor Day, he said, I don't think he's old enough to keep a horse. So I said, that's all right. I said, Willis wants it. Well, in the meantime, Willis bought two big Belgian mares, draft horses.
Oh, boy.
And they each had a filly. So he's got five head out there. He's got five or six sheep, two pigs, and I don't know how many chickens he's got. I'm not working on them to get less chickens and less pigeons, but have top stuff. I said, you'll have more fun. So we were down to show, and I took a couple pairs down there, and then I just knew I wouldn't have any competition. I always wanted to try them. But my main line is the croppers. I've had those 48 years.
Uh-huh.
But then, this was a good show 2 weeks ago at the Buffalo, where the fellow there from Indiana had a lot of jackets. And that's what Bill wanted so badly. So while I was over at the other end of the building, he bought a pair. Well, then he wanted a pair of mine, so I let him have with the lavender heads, because I said, well, I'll just keep 2 pair of black heads. But this judge, he's a friend of mine, we sat in the front row, and he judged in the morning from 9 till 6 at night.
You did?
No, he did.
Oh, okay.
And my gosh, we got tired. When I got home, I was almost too tired to go out and feed the birds. But I did. I came in the house, we got home at 7 o'clock at night, and we've been gone since 8 o'clock in the morning. We never slept. I take a half hour nap, I'm all right.
Yes, right.
And we stood around all day.
Yeah.
And when I got there, didn't want to miss Lawrence Walk at 7 o'clock Saturday night. So I came in and listened. Then I went out and fed them. I watered them all because I brought 16, 17 home again. And gosh, I went to bed at 8:30 and the next day I felt like a million. And Bill called me up on Monday. He said, were you tired? I said, yeah. He said, well, so was I. And he's 25 years younger. But I was just going to say, this judge said he's been down there 3-4 times in the last 6 months. And he lives in Beaverton. And we sat in the front row most of the time when we were judging. It was fun, you know. And then he found out that Bill had bought a pair of jacks from this fellow from Indiana. Well, there's a fellow by the name of Louis Christensen. Bay City. He's got some of the best in the country. So he said, why didn't you tell me that? I'd get them for you. Well, he called me Sunday night to tell me it's true. The wife died. And he says, I'm going to be with Louie next Saturday, a big show at Michigan State tomorrow. If it was Stu, he'd call me up today and say, go tomorrow. I'd say, okay. And Sandy said yesterday, you want to go with me next week? I'm going to get a monkey. And he's got three now, but he's thinking about getting the kind the kids can play with, a little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Put diapers on it and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got one lined up, and he wants to go and get it. He said, you want me to go along? I said, yeah, I'll go along. I'll get down to
Jackson.
That isn't funny.
Yoga.
So I hope he calls me Monday. I'd like to go Monday.
Sure.
Start lining up, I'll just start going.
But you stay busy.
Yeah, I said, well, then this fellow said Sunday night, he said, I'll see Lou Saturday. Well, I said, I shouldn't do it, but I said, I really should get a pair of jacks too so he has more competition at the show. And I've had them already 25 years ago. I showed him a lot. He had black ones. But now this time I said I'd try white ones. And yet he's going to get his flash ones. He's got a pair of yellow and a red now. You could make red and yellow together to improve the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. We're always dreaming. And the bantams they have too. I started out with the same breed, 1915, Seabright, and always had gold. But the last couple of years I've been fooling around and I got silvers. Actually, now I've got two gold and 11 silvers. The silvers are just out of this world. They only weigh 20 ounces, but they're just
You know, I see now where Sandy Pelgrim gets his interest. He lived right here with you. And
yeah, well, and he was the only one in the family that was
that's
away.
Right, because yeah. Matt is...
But listen, Sandy and I get along like two old age, you know.
Yeah.
We have so much fun together. And we sometimes my telephone bill, you see, if I don't go out there, I'll have six calls to him. And if I don't call him in 5 or 6 days, he calls. And sometimes I have $7, $8 calls to him. I ain't noon again.
Long distance.
Yeah, we have fun, you know.
Of course, he's in his, he began with horses.
Yeah, now this year he had one colt. He has any boarders right now. First time I was with him 20 years ago, just a couple months lacking. And sometimes I had four. I didn't need them, but you get raising a colt and all that stuff. But we always had fun together when he was a kid before we were married.
Yeah.
And of course, Peg used to bring the kids in when they were little skirts and I sold them shoes. Roger bought a beagle pup on me when he was a kid in high school. And, you know, they always... And he told me the other day his father was only 62 when he died. He was 60. And Bud Keith and Myrtle always went around with Pagan and Nelson way back.
Yes, that's right. I knew they were good friends.
And, I talk with Myrtle every once in a while, but I haven't seen her since I sold out. But I said, I'm going to take you out to dinner sometime. But it seems like when I do call her, that she's going to one of the kids. The Don's or something down in Ohio.
Yeah, Don's down in Mansfield, Ohio.
Yeah. I think he's going to move or something. They bought a great big house, and they're going to have and restoring it. And they're going to, and Myrtle was going down there last week or a week, 2 weeks ago. And they're going to make a bed and breakfast, you know.
Oh, is that great? Well.
I guess I was thinking the other night, you know, Bud's retired, young Bud, you know. He's from Hipstecity. See, he was born the summer I went in the store in 25, so he'll be 64, and then Don must be right around 60-year-old.
Yes, about that, yeah.
So they used to go rabbit hunting with us when they were little kids, Bud and I, and we shoot them, they'd be dragging, they don't want to carry it. Keep walking along. We always went on holidays. After we had Thanksgiving dinner, we couldn't wait to go. Bud would pick me up or I'd pick him up.
You know, you're talking about Sandy's place out there in Nunica.
He's got 40 acres.
That's always been the farm area around
here. That's good. I never realized it was such good soil there.
Uh-huh.
Because he has bumper crops of hay, you know, and when he has a garden, it's out of this world. I ate things out there I never ate in my life before. When Betty died, said, George, what do you think? He said, I'd like to have you for a partner. Because Sid was not like Elmer. He was kind of loud, like he'd have ants in his pants and all that stuff. And he was only 34 years old and wanted to get out to get his van since he was 17, the father, you know. So we talked it over, George and I. That was on a Friday morning, noon. That afternoon, we gave him $500 down and paid him off on Saturday. My dad loaned me the money. I had 10%. I saved all my life, but I had $1,500.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So my dad loaned me the money. And
how old were you at that time?
22.
And you had saved $1,500?
All my life.
That's darn good, though.
Yeah. Of course, everything I got for birthdays from my aunts and uncles and all that I saved, you know.
Gee.
And,
that was a lot of money back then.
So then, that was on Saturday, we paid them off. Monday morning, I went in on the 20th of July. I always call it the day I started. We paid them off on the 18th.
July 20, 1925.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, then, of course, we were, our business was picking up. We were coming along good when the crash came. And the next few years, we went in half, you know, down in half.
Sure.
And then...
And a lot of that on credit, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And people were hard on this church money. I think prices were low.
Uh-huh.
Our top shoes were $10, and even our best work shoes were $7.50, and they think you were skinning them in. They were too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we struggled through the depression. And then I started to think, gosh, I was 38 and wasn't married yet. I thought, because I was no time to get married, I figured most of a lot of them did, though, but I didn't. And I said, if I'm ever going to do anything on my own, I always want to be alone. And I wanted, so that's when I said to George, one day in August, I said, I'm 41. He said, George, would you like to buy me out? And I guess I told you that before.
No.
Would you like to buy me out? And I said, well, he said, we get along well. I said, I know, but I said, I feel if I'm ever going to do anything on my own, I better get going. I'm 38. So I said, think it over. A week later, he said, we talked it over. And he said, he was 20 years older than I was. I was 38 and he was 50.
Uh-huh.
And he was still paying for his house down here at 642 per night.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, I'm too old. Well, I said, George, right after that, I said, I'll buy you out and you can work for me. Well, gosh, he said, that sounds good.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't say any more. And a week later, he said, are you still thinking? I said, yes. I said, I will stand by it. And I said, what do you think it's worth? And before he said it, I had it in my mind what I would figure it was worth.
Uh-huh.
It was worth half of what I paid the first time because the bottom fell out.
Mm-hmm.
I paid $5,500 for half the building, and I got the second half for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I said, what do you think it's worth? He told me, I said, George, that's just exactly the same as what I figured.
Hmm.
And he said, if you'll give me $100 more, I won't have a bill around. And I said, okay. And then he worked for me for 22 months. And that was in 41. And in 43, we got married in February. And Betty, I had her come in a year before we were married even. Because Uncle Samuel was gone. But they stood me off.
Uh-huh.
And it's because I didn't want to sell out again. I just got it, you know.
Sure.
So, Betty had been living in with about a year and 4 months in the store. So George left us in June because his brother-in-law that I bought out was at Norge and they needed help so badly during the war.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So he went over there and we hired Jenny Austin. All she worked for us would be 4 hours a day so we could go home to dinner, 11 to 3. And that went on for until after the war. And we were always good friends. Then in 1960, see, that's 19 years later, 17 after he left me, he was in after I remodeled. He came in one day and he says, you know, that was the best thing that ever happened, and you bought me out because you went ahead better and he was city assessor and everything for a while, you know.
Mm.
And he came out better, and we were wonderful friends all the time, too.
That's great. Now, your dad is the one that spotted the business for you.
I'd always go into my uncle's store, you know.
Yeah, right.
But he just accidentally stopped in, uh-huh, like I do now.
Sure.
And then Sid was getting ants in his pants. Yeah, he wanted to do something else, so he got into insurance or his slider. And that kid, George Olson, the Cap Olson,
sure,
they had started an insurance on Franklin Street, that little building. And so Sid, Sid bought that out.
Right near Erickson's store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right next door.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, Sid bought that then. Ori was his brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sid got in there, and that's how I happened to get this lot on the other side of the hill here. Sid had bought it, but he must have got low on money, and then Elmer took it over.
Mm.
So I bought it from Elmer for $750, 42 years ago. And so... But nobody else would buy it because the front was 100, we'll say, roughly 150 feet, and the back was 43.
Pie-shaped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
uh-huh,
that's what... Now, I got that piece over on the other side, plus the sit that says Montague,
uh-huh,
and so I would have as much room up... Well, not quite because of the hill, but you stand up there, Dave, and you think you're looking from the moon.
Yeah,
down
that's
to the
great.
Street, you know.
Yeah.
And Sandy... his head swam. Although he played up there all his life, when we stood up there last week, he was as happy as I was.
Happy there.
But it stirred me up again, you know.
Now, I wondered, was your dad living when you finally bought out your partner? You said he had his leg cut off in 39.
He had diabetes and he got gangrene.
Uh-huh.
I bought George out in 41.
41.
My dad lived to 45.
So he was there to see you. Well, I bet he was happy about that.
And my mother saw the remodeling. She didn't want me to do it. She said, I'd rather have you retire younger.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, I tell you, Dave, I didn't take a vacation one time from 39 to 53. But I enjoyed it. We had Wednesday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had a lot of menagerie and rabbit hunting.
Uh-huh.
And we had Bud keep an eye every Wednesday afternoon the way we'd go. We got one or two or three. We didn't care.
Yeah.
But, and then in the meantime, then my mother was living when I started, when I started giving ponies away. She went with me to Clarksville to buy the first one to give away in 50. But then my dad, we got married in 43, and in 2 years and a day, my dad died. Just a day over 2 years.
Mm.
We stayed with my folks because we both worked, and my mother couldn't do it along with my dad because he couldn't manipulate his wooden leg like that. In those days, they didn't make it like they do.
No. Uh-uh.
But the last summer, I think of this last time, the last summer, he'd leave it all, and in the backyard there, the last summer, he got 84 tomato plants. Well, and then he'd get a big basket of tomatoes, and his crutches, he'd take his crutches and stand in the back, holding a basket, and give them all to the friends around the neighborhood. But he had fun. And then the next one, he died. He had a blood clot one night.
So he died in 45?
Yeah. Just before the war died.
I was going to say.
And he said to me one day, he says, you know, we had radio, that was no television. He said, you know, all you hear now is bad news all the time. And I know it was in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we'd sit there at night, even before I got married, the three of us was doing an impression. We'd sit and talk about old times. They'd tell me stuff I didn't know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned a lot then.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun, Dave. It was different.
Sure, sure.
Gosh, we had fun. But like one woman said to me just lately, how come you didn't get married before? And I said, we went with about 35 different girls. But I said, and they're all nice girls. I said, I can name them all. A lot of them are wrong town yet. But I said, I always made up my mind I wasn't going to get married until I was 40.
I'll be darned, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, my folks are good to me, and the times were tough, and between the two of us, we got through good. And I found this morning when I picked that paper up down in the basement, the bill of LeFevre when he sent us the bill for taking my dad's, he didn't take it all, Thornton did. Mm-hmm. But the bill, and Dave, I had to pay him $5 or $10 a month. We didn't have the money in those days, even though we weren't folding up, but you just didn't have money.
Sure.
Your assets were frozen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I just said to someone the other day, even when I was in business, I said, now it's different because I got loose money. In those days, if you got 10,000 ahead, you probably had it, you need it in the spring to pay the bills.
Yeah,
it'd take
right.
all year to get it back.
Yeah.
But I said, now Mike is paying me. He's got the worries.
Sure. That's right.
And I said, it's different.
Yeah.
And I didn't ever want to sell any stocks because all the stocks we bought were bought 40, 45 years ago. Well, you know what your capital gains are.
Yes,
I guess
right.
I had enough of Uncle Samuel when I sold out with the attorneys. And
he was looking over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought that when I sold out, I always wanted cash, but it's hard to find a cash buyer, a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike gave me the offer of 5 years. Well, I was 83 then. I thought, gee, I'll be 88. But then, it's going so fast now, I wish it was 10 years.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I didn't know that if you got to sell it on contract like that, but you have to pay the whole shot right away.
That's right.
And nobody told me, and nobody ever said anything. I meet fellas now. I'm going to sell out. I said, you better watch it. Mm-hmm. Holy smoke, I got 25% down. By the time I got through the attorneys and the accountant and Uncle Sammy, there wasn't hardly anything left.
Sure.
But now...
everything else coming in is free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's all right. But now, when I was talking with the accountant not too long ago, Sammy's come back so many times, but it's their fault most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't make mistakes like Sam Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I got two lying there now again. They won some difference between the Social Security of 79, what I paid in, a couple hundred dollars. Well, again, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I finally threw all that stuff away when
sure.
I sold out because I had my books from the first year I was in business. But what were the kids going to do? They were going to toss them out faster mm-hmm. than I would.
Sure.
So I got. I was going to let the accountant do it. I'm just going to tell them the truth. And I threw them away and I sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But a while ago, I had a funny one. Oh, I had several this time here from. Once they said, state too. They said, I owed them, we'll say $400 or something. And, well, we figured it out that I didn't. So Cal took care of it. That whole thing. A couple of months later, I get another one. They sent me a refund, $311. Well, I thought to him, I'll cash it. A month later, I got a bill for the $311. And that was the way it was all spring. You got so you ate it over. Last week, I got two. I got it. But I think I'll do it myself just see what happens. That's from the Social Security again.
Uh-huh.
But they said, on there it says you can, if you can't locate the material and so on. Well, I went through, I kept everything from 84 so that if I had to go back, 84, 5, and 6, when I sold out. But you know, Dave, you could have the whole house full of that crap.
Oh, can I know it.
I was so sick of it. And but now, I guess we'll get straightened out. Dale's always just straightened out last year.
You know, you talk about changing times. When you bought your partner out, I bet there was no attorney, no accountant, nobody involved.
And what we did, we went over to the bank and they did it free, a little
sure.
bit of deed.
Darn right.
Going over, I said, who was it? John Hoffman, I guess, was cashier then, before Ted. And I think, and John Windenwalder, they were all there. But you know, Dave, there was nothing to it for me to get $50,000. Without any security mm-hmm. or anything
yeah.
up until now. And last year, once I had to pay Uncle Sam so much, I didn't have enough left from what they might pay me, I had to go and borrow some. And this is no hot air.
Yeah.
They charge you $50 service charge, $50 just service charge,
uh-huh.
and I had to put up security. And I said, what in the hell? I don't matter. But I said, how come I could walk in here, Ted gave me $50,000 or $40,000 when I remodeled, And when I remodel, Ted said, I'll give you all you need for the building. Loof and Skelvin met me today because I went to that bank, but my heart was in the other one because I was raised there. And Lou said, we'll give you all you want for added stock. Which I never had to give, I never put a mortgage on anything. Well, and then when I went over to get that, about 2 years ago, and I had one to pay Uncle Sam all, and because I didn't have enough. And by gosh, you know, they wanted me to put security.
All of a sudden, they didn't know you anymore.
Yeah, and I said to them, how come? Well, it's different now. And the joke of it was, I didn't know, so I gave them some bank stock, their own bank stock, and they aren't supposed to take their own stock. and the fellow didn't even know it. So then, let's see, what was the next? I had to go back again for some money. And now I figure I'm going to keep enough on hand so I don't have to go back and ask him. And, but then I gave him Gardner Denver. And I gave him about three times what I was borrowing. But you know, you get sick of it, though.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, I can't kick because the bank stock has done so well.
Sure.
Holy Moses, 25 years ago, anything that the bank stock is worth 20 or more times than what it was then.
Gee.
My dad, well, one time, Dave, was happy when he had 11 shares. That's all he ever owned. But we bought a million shares now. No, not that much, but thousands.
Sure, sure.
But I can remember when he had five, and an old Judge Turner lived right over in the second house here, and he wanted to sell a few. And I believe my dad bought 6 shares from him. Well, in those days, that was a lot of money.
Sure.
And it wasn't much, really. And gosh, it's different.
That was a real investment in your hometown,
yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, when I used to wait on fellas that worked at Gardner Denver, I used to say to them, well, do you buy stock in it? Oh, no, I don't buy any stock in it. Well, when we got married, Betty owned a lot up the river, right on Mercury Drive, where the houses all are now.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the road.
That's up where the Johnson Jacobson used to have a cottage up in that area.
Did they?
Yeah, near Stearns Bayou.
Yeah. Warren Sandra is up in there yet.
Yes, he is. Right.
Well, a little on this side. And so she says, I think I'll sell it. She bought it from Sid Jessamine when she worked for Sid when he was in developing that area. He developed that, some of that.
Oh.
On this side of Pottawatomie.
Yeah, okay.
Right in there.
Yeah, right.
And there was nothing in there. Sid had bought it, and that's what saved him when the Depression came, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, she said, I'll sell. She got 550, so we put it in Cooper, Gardner Denver then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then we buy 5 shares once in a while. And but shoot, now, like I say to people, gosh, what we put in, we almost get out every year now for dividends, just what we put in.
Yeah. Isn't that something there?
Yeah. But then a lot of those fellows wouldn't buy stock in their own companies.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to know a lot of them. And I remember one time when old, what was his name? He worked out there, and he was a nice fellow, shooting. He was a little stubby fellow. He worked in the office. And one time when you had to send the, when you had a vote back, you know, I made a mistake or something. I don't know what I did. But he even came from the office to the store to have me sign in the right place.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And that was that personal touch.
Sure.
But now, it's still good. I tell my kids, I said, listen, we've had it 40 or 45 years now. And I said, well, you just coast with them.
Uh-huh.
I said, Cooper, you know, because that's going all the time.
Oh, yeah, you
and
bet.
I said,
yeah.
You just take the dividend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once in a while now, when I don't know what to give them at Christmas, I give them some of the stocks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I still get a kick out of watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate them. They'll get it in the end, but it's just fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were saying that these fellas didn't buy stock in their company. You saw the rise of the unions, and now we're seeing the decline of the unions.
Yeah.
What's your reflection on all of that?
Well, I never before the Union.
Uh-huh.
I think they got the upper hand. Don't you, Dave?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
It's just as bad one way as the other.
Yeah, I think they self-destructed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's serious.
Yeah.
And I try, when I go around here, I try to keep my mind. I get out of the way of getting wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Like the other day, I should have said something. I was in the store, and they were talking about one of the local stores. And I go there all the time, and that store is as nice as it can be. Those fellows were talking, he don't do a thing, and it's always dungy and everything. I was there this morning, and everything's up to apple pie. And still, people criticize you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I'd said what I wanted to, maybe we wouldn't have been friends anymore, so I can't still. But I want to be careful who I'm talking with, you know.
Sure. Sure.
But you get in some funny spots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like downtown, I was in, I went in the Chewy store the other day, and a young girl came up to me. Those girls, they don't know me.
Yo.
And I said, I want a collie. She looked at me, and the other woman, she was either. Lorraine Colson is still there. Aldrich,
you're right.
She was up in the office.
Yeah.
The other one says you ought to be a little more specific. All I wanted was a collie, one of the little dogs. You know.
Uh-huh.
They got all the good ones there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, I've got a couple of them.
Are these?
No, this one's a collie. That's a beagle.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes.
And my nephew gave me the pug.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I bought a collie the other day from my nephew down in North Carolina, and they're going to give me a Boston Bull. So my other one, he's got one, a live one.
Oh.
But he wanted to give me that. I thought I'd send him one of those for Christmas, because you don't know what Santa's going to give me.
Sure.
They teach and all that stuff, you know.
What are they, China?
Yeah, they're good. They're uh-huh. good product. Now my daughter just gave me these ducks for her like birthday.
Oh, yes.
And there they are, clever. That's some new company again. Mm-hmm. I guess they all drove with it. But they're kind of cute.
Yeah, you're not kidding. That's a nice painting there.
Yeah. And one of my other nephews gave me those two birds. And my niece, she gave me these three of the,
the needlepoint, yes.
Uh-huh. They gave me that one, the horse jumping, the state of Michigan.
Sure.
And the horse over there.
Oh, yeah.
But now they have new babies, so I won't get any more. This girl mentioned they can go. I said, well, he needs that dog. They got a whole bunch of them down there. So I got fixed up, and then I went back out the next day. They wrapped them up all Christmas wrapping.
Sure.
Then I was down there one day, and we used to raise Dutch rabbits, and they had little ones. And I thought, well, hey, yeah.
That's cute.
And they look cute up there. Yeah. And that one, we bought, for very little from the forest at one time, about 40 years ago. And now they're at home, I've forgotten 50
seconds. Oh, yeah, that's a wood carving, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure, the best.
But I like all that crap. I had all that stuff in the store. I got a lot of stuff on the basement I haven't put up yet. I got the old horns down there yet.
Uh-huh.
I bet my nephew would like to have them came out to bed, but I'm funny. I thought, I don't know whether this is a historical society one. My daughter could use it. But they haven't said anything yet. They got a big fireplace and we put those 6-foot horns in.
Oh, yes, right. Now, what are those? Longhorns?
Yeah.
From Texas?
Yeah. Uh-huh. See, when I was young, I always dreamed about owning them there. So when I remodeled in 60, we bought them. And they came in a box that was about 8 feet long.
Oh.
So they wouldn't get crushed.
Yeah.
And of course, when I left, my new Mike wouldn't care and took all that stuff. Yeah. Except that the birds that were mounted. Yeah, they're so old and they didn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they fall apart.
So
when I got a lot of those other things that I had from forest on too in the basement, not what I haven't put down in the forest. I don't like to know if I want to put them on the walls or not.
I see your cowboy boots here.
That's the one my daughter wore when she was about two and a half or three, and she's 41 now. But I wanted to give them to her, but she wouldn't take them. But to me, it means a lot.
Well, sure.
The kids, they don't pay me.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
I
see your first saddle over here, too.
Yeah. Now, Dave, I bought that about 30 years ago. for $5.
Now, boy, isn't that something?
Yeah. And when I left the store, I took all the stuff I liked. I like that stuff. I bought that old John Wayne.
John Wayne,
one
yeah.
One time, I was in the last 10 years, I was in Niles, and Mary wanted to go to the that big mall. I don't know, mall's in Grand Rapids. I've only been there once in all the years I've been there. But she says, go. And I was walking around, and I saw him. I thought, God, that goes good with our Texas boots, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I knew Mike wouldn't care. But I eventually put him in the basement. But because I got the recreation, it was big, but I got in good shape, but I don't know if I put the pictures up or not. You know, a lot of stuff. I 2 years ago for Christmas, I went down to Bill Rowell's, where it all was nice.
Oh, yes, right. The wildlife store.
Yeah. I bought three great big pictures for my three nephews. Well, I didn't know what to send them on. I do it because my sister was always so good to me. And they're all in the 40 to 50 now. So I bought three of them. We shipped them down for Christmas. And the one with a couple of loons on was cracked.
Mm.
So it took us. Well, they were up here a year ago in September. And finally they came up and I wasn't going to ship them again. And they hadn't even got settled with UP yet. They hadn't got any in 8 months.
Oh.
I guess he did after that. But so we had to pick out another one. There wasn't room, but I sent one was a couple of deer on, and the other one, and then one was two loons, and I guess the other one was ducks, but they're all beautiful. I just found a letter one niece wrote and said they had it up, but I knew they wouldn't buy that stuff, although the one of them, he had all these carved ducks. And he paid $150 a piece for it. He had about a couple of three, four of those around the place. My that nephew built on his father's cow pasture up on the mountain. And when you look in the distance, you can see the hotel at Waynesville and so on.
Oh, yeah.
He built his own house in between the time he went to college and the Navy and all that. He worked for a carpenter, so he built on top there. When I was there the last time, 3 years ago, the house was beautiful inside, but he hadn't done too much on the outside yet, but he'd been doing it on the side. And as a funny thing, last spring one day, I met, what's his name, he was on the school board, I didn't know him, I know him.
Don DeGlopper?
No. He always had whiskers. He's active in it.
Oh, Ivan Foshak.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ivan was down there some meeting. What was there, a rotary meeting?
Yes, right.
Waynesville last winter.
Oh, well.
He was down there. Yeah. There. And my nephew heard him say he was from Grand Haven. So he went over. Well, he said, my mother was from Grand Haven. My uncle lives there. And so Ivan told me that in the post office one day. And so he had quite a talk with Richard. So I told Ivan. Now Richard, when he was in high school, he was fooling Dickens. And he put a lighted cigarette in the principal's pocket. And he threw him out just before graduation.
So he didn't graduate?
No. He went in the Navy. He came out, he worked at the longshoreman in Norfolk a little while. Then he decided he wanted to go back to college. Then he taught for 15 years. Now he's got a better job yet. His job is for the county of Hayward County. That's the most expensive property in the state of North Carolina. He has to keep all the kids in school. Drop them. You go down the street, there's a big billboard. Call Richard Reeves if you're thinking about dropping out. And I got an article here the other day that the editor wrote in the paper while my sister and her husband talking in bed, wondering how the kids were going to come out and we would get in that trouble. She never told him, but we found out later. And now, here he's got a job, he's probably getting 40 to 50 pounds a year. He covers the county, but he can tell it from his own experience.
Sure,
and,
you bet.
And he's got a good thing. She teaches, she's the one who made all this stuff. But the article, I had it out the other day with Mary to read. He sent me all the crap that he uses there.
Yeah.
The accolades, you get on the street, see the name on the billboard and all that. But it shows that they can still do it.
Sure.
I'll show you those Mustangs.
Oh, yes, all right.
Now, this is the Bachelor's Hall. It isn't like your house.
Let me turn. Oh, yeah.